Hi, welcome to an inspirational message by Pastor Harold Weiss, Senior Pastor at Little Falls Christian Center.
There is none beside thee, neither is there any God like our God. There is none holy as the Lord. And when we take anything that comes from you, it's holiness. It's absolute holiness. It's total holiness. It's total purity. And so, Father, we thank you this day that we understand you are the God of absolutes. Absolute truth, absolute purity, absolute love, absolute light. Everything is absolute. And so, Father, we just pray that your word will be in our hearts like that today. And that, Lord, we will learn something from this. And that, Lord, this weekend will come together with a huge, huge celebration tonight as we break through the barriers of darkness. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Give the Lord a praise offering, everybody. This band did so well last night. They just helped so much when they did the thing last night with us. How many of you were here last night? Okay, a lot of people, and it was just, last night was very powerful, and I could feel the presence of God. First night, we started off, and we prayed, and then it was about 2-3 minutes of praying. I prayed a prayer, then I felt the power of God's here. Then last night, straight from the beginning, all the way through. And it's always that your first night is your break up the fallow ground, like unplowed soil that's hard after the non-rain season. You break it up, and then the second night is breakthrough. And tonight we plant seeds of faith in every direction. And we believe God for breakthroughs, personal miracles. I am so looking forward to tonight. You have no idea, really. We've had reports from people all over the world. We've had people, you know, just responding. I had a string of pictures coming to me, people just posting me pictures of where they're praying and what's happening there. It's an amazing situation. And what we want to do is to achieve that goal of getting in prayer October. It's the month by institution of God set apart for prayer, that in prayer October, lives will change. Your family will change. The country will change. Things will change internationally. And that people that have been struggling, things will get better. Also, we have been fasting this weekend. And I could feel it last night when I was praying, that the normal energy levels are not always like they are because of taking in no food. And we've been fasting from Friday like we said we would. And so last night, still on a fast, last night I could feel I have need of a big steak and eggs, you know. So it's, you know, it's just like you get that little bit of a booster there. But nevertheless, tonight's the final night. And last night it was strange, but they came upon me at one point in time like a huge prophetic anointing, just so much in the presence of the Lord that, you know, it's not a thing you switch on and switch off. But last night it was there, and we came to the end of the prayer session. We'll see what happens tonight, and also we'll end off with celebrating with all of our hearts, and I want the band to be ready for it, everybody. We will end with a celebration of praise, and those people of the other nations, when they join us, they must do whatever they do to join us, or just get their bands ready and just do the same thing. And so with that being said, I am so delighted in the rain. And I was saying just one more small point, that we started 2 years ago by praying for rain because we had that drought. We asked God to fill the Vaal Dam. In fact, I made a decree. And the Vaal Dam then poured over its banks, and it was filled 100%. And then last year we prayed again. But, oh yes, that first year, on the final night of prayer, when we prayed, it was like I had to end off by praying for rain. I felt, all right, it's like this thing is done. We're going to get rain now. And I almost don't want to say it this way, but you almost feel heartless about praying again for rain because the prayer has already been answered. That's the way I felt. And it's like, pray for it, but it's already been answered. So I did a different kind of prayer, prayed more like a Thanksgiving prayer. Last year, we prayed again for the Western Cape and for God to fill the dams. And guess what? The Vaal Dam was again 100%. And many other dams at the Western Cape had lots of water coming down. And then Friday night, we have topics and we circulate the topics with the people that assist me in this prayer because of huge, huge spiritual pressure. You have no idea until you get on this platform for this thing because you're central to a massive movement that's busy going on outside and also inside. And it's like you get the attention of the enemy also and you feel that counter pressure. And in that first night, I gave Pastor Tiens the topic to pray for rain again. And guess what? When he was finished, I wanted to say, hey, people, it's going to rain tomorrow. And that was yesterday. And it did rain. And I just felt we have the rain season. And I noticed that it's also the breaking time for the rain season to begin. 3 years in a row now. Maybe it's because of what we're getting up to. I don't know, but it's just an amazing thing how God is working. I want to therefore just say to you that be assured that we are going to do our very best to pray this thing through. And prayer doesn't stop there because my house is a house of prayer. And you're also a temple of the Holy Spirit. We're a house of prayer. I'm going to talk about the preserving of your hedge of protection. So I think this is very necessary in terms of you as an individual intercessor. You have to pray for your family. You have to pray for yourself. You have to pray for your work. You have to pray for your children. You have to pray for whatever, your marriage, and that God give you favor. Many people have to pray for favor with court cases, and well, it just never ends. And so we want to take you to Isaiah 59:16. Last night was an immense night in this place. And I immediately got response from people overseas saying, wow, it was just one of those nights. And here we see that God saw, it talks about justice and truth that's fallen in the street. And he who departs from evil makes himself a target. And then in Isaiah comes 59:16. He saw that there was no man, that means nobody, and wondered because of the state of the country that there was no intercessor. Now, this is a very important thing to talk about because an intercessor plays a major role in raising up a hedge of protection. Behind me is a huge picture of exactly what it means to have a hedge of protection. You don't get through that thing without it becoming a thorny and a hurtful situation. And what with predators, they can't get through it. So a beautiful image behind me that Philip got for me. This word intercessor is something that is critical. There's a book I read in the early years of my life called The Intercessor by Rhys Howells. And there I started learning, and then Kenneth Hagin's book, The Art of Intercession. And this word intercessor is from a Hebrew word, you know, the essential Hebrew word is the word pagah, which is, it's got different applications and contextual in the Bible. And in this context where the country has frayed out and things have just gone to a point where it is like a hopeless situation seemingly, God is wanting us to understand that we're to look spiritually at situations. Because the Bible, I tell you today, is a deeply, I don't think I can describe how deeply spiritual book. It is filled with a spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit. And it is so that when you read things, you tend to think in the natural that you're accustomed to. But you have to put on spiritual glasses and switch on spiritual eyes to look at these things. We'll get a little bit more about that in a moment. This word intercessor refers to a style of prayer. The Hebrew word is pagah, like I told you. It means literally to confront a situation or someone, to confront a situation or someone that is, let's call it, demonically inspired, if you will. That is, let's call it enemy, if you will. But enemy is not human beings. You've got to think spiritual now. And behind all the trouble in any nation, in all history, is always the devil busy working against and being rebellious and trying to spread rebellion against God. It means to confront someone, to assault or confront with a meaning and the intention to slay that enemy either by plague or normally by sword. Literally intending to put them out of the way or if possible to kill them. That would be natural to kill them. So if we look at this definition, it literally means to confront a situation or situations where the enemy is having a move and you can see the devil is having a day. He's given a demon's charge and things are going wrong and they keep on going wrong. So you want to confront that. That is what a intercessor is. So it essentially means to strike against with the intention of taking out and stopping the enemy and putting the enemy in reverse, right? Secondly, Ezekiel 22:30 is the second verse I want to take to your attention. And here we see, I sought for a man among them, there's no intercessor, but I'm seeking a man, says the Lord, who would make up a wall and stand in the gap for before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found no one. Stand in the gap. Now, in the context of what we're talking about here, this gap is a breach where the enemy's got some form of entrance. I want you to think. Yesterday I was walking and thinking that I like what Ravi Zacharias has as a theme. Ravi, they call him. He says, let my people think. I want you to think, because this morning and yesterday I was thinking that when you talk about these things, people's minds start working. I'm like that. If I go to a place or a situation, my mind just spins and scriptures come from every angle. So here it says somebody would make a wall, that would be the hedge, we'll get down to the hedge, and stand in the gap before me. That gap there is literally referring to a break, a breach where the enemy can come through. Now behind me you see the thorns, and maybe there's a reason for the hedge to fail. In fact, there would be a reason in the spiritual dimension for it to fail. In this case, on behalf of the land. And let me tell you, apart from preaching the gospel and being a shepherd here for this flock, I want to tell you that I feel it's definitely part of my calling, particularly after I've seen those angels and the visions I've had. I feel that the Lord has really called me to stand in the gap for the nation. And we can't compromise. We can't have traditional praying where you're reading off a piece of paper and you're praying like just off paper, and it sounds very religious, but there's no power in that. And there's only power if the Holy Spirit's really involved. That's why praise and worship is very important. I love to play praise and worship music, particularly worship music, when I begin in the early mornings. I very softly put on worship music and I flow with that music of worship and then worship God for a while and then get straight into prayer. Now, to stand in the gap. Now, that word gap is literally a breach or a break where something breaks through or breaks forth. And it is something which is like a complex process of just making this hedge of protection and stand on behalf of me, on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it. An intercessor is someone that can intervene. Now, I am reminded of Moses. I'm not going to get into Moses too much, but I'm reminded of Moses where God says to Moses, comes to my mind now, he says, get out of the way and that I can destroy these people and I'll make you a great name, a great man. I will bless you, multiply you. And you know, if God says that sort of thing, that means that's going to be happening. But Moses, as an extremely righteous man, stood on behalf of the entire Israel and prevented the death of a nation. The death of a nation. And he fell on his face for another 40 days, pleading with God not to destroy them. And ultimately, his intercessory prayer and standing in the gap on behalf of the nation became so powerful that it was actually a case of him getting the answer, and God did not destroy them, and they moved on towards the promised land. Now, I want to go on with this hedge of protection, because if we look at Job 1 verse 8, we need to preserve that hedge of protection in our own lives, and I'll get to some points on exactly that in a moment's time. Then the Lord said to Satan, see, the devil is involved in the attack. Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him, singular, this man, on the earth, a blameless man? That means you can't bring an accusation against him. It's not going to work. God says so. That means it is so. He's without blame. And an upright man. The word upright in the Hebrew means to walk a straight line, to walk the straight and narrow path is the best way we can express it in modern day terminology of the Greek. And one who fears God, or he who fears God departs from evil and shuns evil. That means he turns himself away as if it never existed. He just ignores it. Like shunning means literally to ignore something that is there that you're just not going to partake of. It is ignoring. Now, having said that, Satan answered the Lord and said, does God, Job fear God for nothing? Have you? Now, notice this. It's important in terms of the preservation of your personal hedge of protection and even this country. It increases our responsibility very much. Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him? Around him? Him? Around his household? Around all that he has? On every side? What is the devil saying? I can't get to this man. There is no way I'm going to get to him. I will not be able to reach him. And the one that here you have this sentence in verse 10 is key to understanding the hedge of protection. Have you not made a hedge around him? So if we see, I sought for a man who would make up a hedge and stand in the gap. Make up a wall to make up a hedge, stand in the gap. This hedge that Job was blessed with was there because he was upright, righteous, and he was praying all the time, sacrificing all the time. You can read the book of Job, how he did it. And then the devil comes back and says, no way, I'm not going to get through this. Because I want you to clearly understand and see this is critical. That have you, that's God Almighty, not made a hedge around him. That hedge is the word there that means to bar the way with thorn bushes, to fence protectively, literally here from the Hebrew dictionary. I'm just reading straight out of it. It says there, to guard, to hedge in, to protect, to bar the way with thorn bushes, with a idea or with a concept of a fence that is protective, to fence protectively. Now, dear friends, we have to understand that the devil, and then it goes on, it actually says, and all that he has on every side, you bless the work of his hands and his possessions. See, there's a reward to righteous living. His possessions have increased in the land. Now, if I go back again to this principle where he says, the devil says to God, he says, have you not made it? Now, if you look for a man who would make up a wall, we also know, if I look at this here in the Hebrew, just another dictionary, it literally means to have, hold on there, let me just see there, to entwine, literally, a dense shrub frequently used as a wall. I sought for a man who would make up a wall. That was the wall. Or a barrier. Okay? Somebody would make up a wall or a barrier. Now, in that sentence there where God is saying, I sought for a man, make up a wall. Here, Satan says he has a hedge of protection around him. If we look at the Hebrew, every indication is that it looks, this is really an outstanding picture here that I have. I've asked Philip this morning to get me the right one, and he got the right one. My goodness. Here you see that if you have something like that in the way, hyenas, in those days of the Bible, those early days, you had lions there. David spoke of bears, lions. We know Samson with a lion. There were wild animals to this day. You still have leopards in the mountain cliffs there at Israel, down towards the Dead Sea and in all those mountainous areas. You still have leopards, and there's still hyenas that they have there that are dwelling around there, and they leave them alone because they're protecting nature. The fact is, those animals could not get through. If you look at hyena, hyena is going to look at this lot. He's not going to be able to bite it because it's going to sting him. And many of these thorns actually burn once you've been stung, and then they get stuck. And so with this thing that it says a hedge around him, means the devil couldn't get through. This is a troublesome situation. This is a situation he's not capable of dealing with. This is a situation where there are thorns in the way. And it's a thorny issue. And if he tried to come through that hedge, he is going to get hurt. He's going to be the one that is going to suffer because of it. Now, having said that, it is obvious that Jesus, when he spoke, he says, I am the door, I am the way. Then he speaks about his sheep that hears his voice. He guards over them. He's the shepherd. And around his sheep, he's the one that builds a hedge of protection. Now, saying this to you before I get to these specific notes, we need to understand that we build a hedge of protection by two means. It's very simplistic. Number one, by righteous living, living in right standing with God. Number two, by our prayer life, we ask God, oh, this is important to you. This is very important. If you want to live a trouble-free life, this is stuff that we have to get into on a regular basis. We ask God to build a hedge of protection around, like Job said, in his hedge around him, around his household, around all that he has on every side. You bless the work of his hands, and you can't stop what God has blessed. Nobody can come against. Even his possessions now have multiplied, increased in the land. So God is the one who builds the hedge. So I want you to remember what I said a little bit earlier on. You have to put on spiritual glasses or switch on your spiritual eyes and understand that this does not refer, when it talks to a man, about a man that would stand in the gap and build a hedge, make a wall, hedge of protection, that I would not destroy the land. That concept is deeply spiritual. It is altogether in the spirit that it happens. You activate this process of protection through your prayer life and through righteous living in the way, the truth, and the life. And so when the righteous cry out to the Lord and asks God, my son, my daughter, my children, my family, my work, my finances, I need your protection. You're not building the hedge. God answers your prayer, and he does that for you because he's the actual hedge builder. He protects his sheepfold. He's the great shepherd. And the Lord is our shepherd. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall not fear. If there is a barrier that is around you, then none can get through that barrier. Now, I had another verse which I wanted to get to you here in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is 1 Peter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away and is reserved in heaven for you. There's a blessing that's going to hit you one day in your future that I think you're going to find hard to understand. With the full revelation, and you see him face to face. There's something waiting for you. Man, you talk, it's like a birthday party. It's like we have Christmas gifts. This is the biggest gift. That does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. You, verse 5, who are kept by the power of God. First and foremost, why kept by the power of God? It is the power of God that does the work in that hedge. You can think of a group of angels surrounding you. He will give his angels charge concerning you. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him. And you can think that way. But notice here that we are kept by the power of God. And this word is a good Greek word. It's called phlorio. And it means, reading here from the Greek dictionary, it means to guard, to watch with a military guard. That particularly captures my attention. To keep in a condition of restraint against attacks that may take place. To keep in a state of settlement or security. So we see that the power of God is at work to protect you on absolutely every side. For us, there is the responsibility. I think a lot of people will only when they get to heaven realize what they missed out because they didn't pray enough. They will only then realize how they battled unnecessary if only they did pray. If they only set aside time and said, I'm also a temple of God and my house shall be called a house of prayer. I'm a house of prayer. And they leave things and then resort to worldly solutions. They then put their trust in worldly solutions. What so-and-so said, what so-and-so had done, what so-and-so can provide, and they look at the arm of flesh to sustain them. But the Bible tells us, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Trust is Hebrew, a simple word, trust, which means literally have faith in God. But I like the word trust because it means that you trust, you rely on God to show up when there is a crisis. Can you say amen? Now, we are kept by the power of God. We also understand that it is the Lord that protects us. Now, first point here, now I'm going to these notes purposely because I don't want to miss this. In God, it is God Himself who builds your hedge of protection. The responsibility for you is to pray that God does that for you. Look at your relationship and pray about it. I do that. You should too. And that's what we do for the nation during this weekend prayer event. But we do many things when we pray like that. Now, I've said that particularly based upon what I have seen in visions, that really was revelatory to me. Witchcraft, divination, and sorcery. Those three things, said Dr. Derek Prince, gone on to be with the Lord, are the three legs of the entire occult, pagan, idolatry world. Witchcraft, divination, and sorcery. And if you look at a basic summary of those three words, it boils down to a singular concept, no matter which way you look at it. It is to, by means of communicating with evil spirits or the devil himself, use those evil spirits to manipulate people. Get me on this. In other words, where a person is wanting to do something, he comes under demonic attack. If there is no hedge of protection, then it's easy to manipulate that person and to bring that person to a state where it's an open target, and what the person would not normally do under normal circumstances becomes a thing that that person does. So we have to look at this concept, very important for those taking notes, very important, it's been with me all my life. It's to manipulate people to go in a direction that under normal circumstances, according to the Word of God, they never do. Manipulate people to do what you want them to do. And we do find, I have warned the people even in early years, I have said to them, sometimes you get parents that pray manipulative prayers about their children. I've heard the most funny things already in the years gone by where somebody, for example, would have a son and there is a girl that they don't think is good enough, and they would then say, I just bind the feet of that young woman so that she can't come near him. You know, and it's like, that does not work. It does not work. It does not work. Because God is love and He loves everybody. And if we're careful not to manipulate people, the devil will come along and the devil will say, listen, I can help on this issue, and a lot of misery can be caused to an entire family because it hits that way and it hits back. So these three legs of the occult world, along with invoking fear in people, are the means of manipulating other people's lives by means of demons. Now, having said that, I want to get to Job 3:25. But first, I want to say the first point of preserving your personal hedge of protection. Today, I'm really wanting you to catch this very clear because it's critical for your life. Number one, Job 3:25, Here was his weakness. The thing that I greatly feared has come upon me, and what I dreaded has happened to me. He greatly feared a situation concerning his family, and now the devil has had a heyday. We can read the book of Job. I'm not doing an exposition of the book of Job, but the principle here is fear that was the opening door for the enemy to come in and slam him and his entire household. That was the thing. Fear causes people to act in a way that they shouldn't be acting. And I put in here Romans 14, 23, for whatever is not from faith is sin. So fear is, what is fear? Let me say it this way. Fear is the absence of faith. Fear is the absence of faith. When a person fears, worries, anxiety, stress, concern, frets, there are many words like this. When a person has that stuff working, in his life and has just become out of control, that fear hit the whole family of this man called Job. And that fear gave the devil the chance to come through the hedge. That was the weak spot in the hedge. Because God wouldn't let him in. But the devil quickly identified, listen to what I'm saying. He quickly identified what the weakness in Job's life was. And he knew his Achilles heel. And when he knew it, that's the first thing he did. Job's motive for all of this, it was on behalf of his children. He was doing all sorts of things because he greatly feared perhaps they've sinned and something will befall them, or there would be evil that would take hold of their lives. And he feared it, can I almost say, severely. And based upon that, he did what he did. He did his God service, so to speak. And he sacrificed on a daily basis. He did all these things. And now God says that which, in the word here, it's actually Job's word, he says, that thing which I greatly feared. Again, because it's just net so belong, it's just so important. Understand, fear, stress, worry, fretting, being unnecessarily unduly concerned, be consumed with negative outcome or possible negative outcome of things. Fear is the one thing on earth that tells you there's something wrong with that person's faith life. So you have to, every word is loaded here, you have to ramp up your faith. Your faith is not up to standard. Your faith is not up to standard. It's not where it ought to be. There are basically two reasons for that. Your prayer life is not right, and you're not reading the Word of God as you ought to, and you're not meditating on the Word and the promises of God, and your faith is built upon imaginations, what the Bible calls vain imaginations. Many of the things people worry about never take place. But it does do this. It breaks your hedge of protection. And inside that encampment is your family, is your household, is your personal life, if you haven't got a family. It is that critical. So I got to hurry along because time chases me always. Therefore, we need to understand, I have always seen the next point. Sin is the gateway to hell. Do not get into the devil's territory. The Bible says, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Sin is the gateway to hell. We need to understand that. We really have to get this. Do not get into the devil's territory. Now, there can two things can happen. Number one is, by this fear factor, you open yourself up for an easy attack of the enemy. Or else, you can abandon your principles, your morality, and whatever that contains your life and your spiritual life. You can abandon that and get straight by yourself. Get out of the fence area or the fenced-in area where you're protected and go into the devil's territory. Now, I'm going to say what Dr. Lester Sumrall said. He said these words. He said that the devil, and he's right, has got a legal right on anything that represents sin. The moment there is something sinful, or I had one man that came to me and he said, I got a fortune-telling crystal ball. Is it okay if I keep it? I said, have you got a 5-pound hammer or a 10-pound hammer? Take it outside and hit that thing till it doesn't even exist anymore. Because that's part of witchcraft, divination, and sorcery. I've had people ask me things like that. Is it okay if I keep? One man said, I've got all the religious documents, Bibles, so to speak, of the different religions, and is it okay that I keep all the copies of these other Bibles, if you will, in my house? I said to him, take it to a 44-gallon tank or drum and put oil or fuel, petrol upon it, and light it up and burn it. There is only one book, and it's this book here. Can you say amen? You get rid of that stuff. Get rid of that stuff. Why? Because sin gives the devil a legal right to come straight into your house. Straight into your house. And begin to attack your family and everything that you treasure in life. He comes straight in there. Because under your roof is your protective zone. And if that thing is not in place, then he just comes through. And then the next thing you see, you're throwing out a welcome mat. Get that concept? A welcome mat for the devil. Once that thing is in place, he's coming in as he wants to. And let me tell you, one of his names is called Beelzebub. That means the Lord of the Flies. Because the devil and his demons are like flies. They come in. Sin is the gateway to hell. Do not get into the devil's territory. Stay in the camp of God. Don't get out of the camp of God. Number three, do not engage with, entertain, or practice anything that the devil has a legal right to. What I've just said. Do not engage with it. Do not entertain. Do not practice. Do not allow anything that is connected and could be used by the devil to get inside your fence. Are you getting me? So, any form of wrong living, profanity, perversity, keeping of evil objects in your house is a major opening and welcome mat for the devil cross here. It's like you go and you put a ladder over this fence and you say, devil, just come this way, just come over here. And so in the process of that, you suffer and suffer badly. Number four, stay with a flock of God. People don't think home cells are important. I think they are vital and critical and very necessary. Because that means that I've got my Sunday services. I go there, I serve the Lord. But in the middle of the week, we all get together as Christians of the early church, as Christians, and we discuss the word and we pray for one another and we strengthen one another until the following weekend. Christianity is not a one-day affair. It's 7 days of the week. Stay with the flock of God. Do not drift off unprotected. I've seen that with ministers that break their cover. They go out and they become history. So it is with people privately. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. This thing here, stay with the flock of God, don't drift off, is to me very important because, you know, in nature, you know, I love wildlife. I've always loved wildlife and birds and just nature itself out there. That's where I get a lot of peace if I want to just be quiet with God. If you look at a principle of wildlife, there's protection in the flock. When you have a lot of springbok or roan's antelope or whatever kind, wildebeest, you've got a lot of these antelopes running in groups of thousands upon thousands, the chance of you being taken out is remote because there's protection in the flock. You attack a herd of buffaloes and you'll see them turn around to come and protect that one that's suffering. The same happens with the elephants. You attack one, particularly baby elephant, they'll all come for you and you're in trouble then. So stay with the flock of God. Do not drift out unprotected. Don't come into church and then vanish next week. Stay regular. Now, the final point, because my time is up, do not, number five, do not allow things in your life that God Almighty will not allow. 1 Peter 1:15 to 16. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all of your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. So do not allow things in your personal life. Sin is the gateway to hell. But you know, in the Lowveld, there is a certain bush called the sickle thorn. That sickle thorn gets dry. The branches dry eventually, and you sometimes find those thorns on the ground. And then if even a 4x4 tire goes over them, that thorn gets like steel. It goes right through a 4x4 tire. We've had that happen to us. That sickle thorn is absolutely a powerful thorn. I don't know of anything in the plant world that is as dangerous to a car as that one. So it's not nice if you're near a pride of lions and you strike a sickle thorn. So, you know, it's like sin is like that thorn. Sin gives you a flat tire. Sin stops your spiritual motion. And if you allow anything, I say here, do not allow things that God will not allow. My friends, look at this book here in my hand. What this book says, read it soberly. If the Lord doesn't bless it, you don't do it. If the Lord doesn't condone, you don't do it. Because what's written here is forever, eternal. And God does not change. He doesn't change his mind. What he said, he will not relent. And he is the judge of all the earth. Don't open yourself up and allow things in your life, in your home, in your family, that God himself will not allow. You ask a sober question. What does the Bible say about this, that, and the other? And then stay with that. Don't allow those things in your life. We're coming to an end of the service, and I am going to close now with a word of prayer. I want you just to give the Lord a praise offering, and let's all stand together. Amen. Hallelujah. Till we get together tonight. I just want to, I noticed Pastor Louis Biergeman over there. Now, he is my age, and he's had his birthday yesterday. So, happy birthday, Pastor Louis. Congratulations to you and Durki. You know, you are very precious people. We love them. And so if you get a hold of him, don't let him escape out the door. Catch him before he goes out. Just catch the man and shake his hand for him. Okay? You've got all the permission in the world to do that. God bless you. Let's pray. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be now with you and forevermore. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his countenance over you and be gracious to you and grant you peace. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, got the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, Amen.
For more teachings like this and other material, please visit our website at www.littlefallsonline.com.